I'll be a sanctuary for you. Singing unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he's tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Garrett said it's raining outside. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelations 3:12, if you like, turning your scriptures, and then John 20. In verse 17, Revelations 3, verse 12, and John 20, verse 17. Now I know most of you know about it, but Brother Ryan is getting married this weekend, so just remember that. And also now there's a good many drinks outside out there that Buster and the people from over there gave us to give away. So make sure you get what you want of them. You know, we want the ports cleaned off when we get through. So we want to give them away to everybody. You take them home and drink them and everything. And he said, if you needed any more, just go on over there. There's a tarp somewhere. He said, you can just get under it and get all you wanted. So, you know, we appreciate them being so nice to us and everything. So make sure you get those when you leave. Amen. Revelations 3:12 and John 20 and verse 17. Father, we thank you tonight for your loving grace unto us. We thank you for your understanding of us, and as us humans, mortals, that you do, Lord, put up with us. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for the rain that you're sending, Lord, and just let it bathe the earth and all of the whole parts that are dry, Lord, and just bring the rain and let it restore the soil and the things, Father, back the way in the lakes and all the way they're supposed to be, Father, because we believe you. And we thank you for it. And we believe you. We pray that you would bless each one. Remember those that are not with us tonight. We know there's many requests. No, Lisa's sick and many more that are not here, Brother Gary and Sister Rebecca and Al and Anna, different ones that are sick. So just reach down and touch each one, Lord, and let your grace be sufficient for whatever the need to bring healing to the body. Forgive our sins and lead us by thine understanding that we may walk in the light of your love in Jesus' name. Revelations 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now let's go back to John. I just wanted to read this scripture related to it. John 20 and verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, you remember this is Mary who went after the resurrection. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my disciples and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been trying to speak about this, and we're on the message of the overcomer, and I've covered a lot of this, but I wanted to read it to you where that you know, you would have it, and then maybe someone on internet doesn't have the background that you have of the message, so that way you can you know, they can carry it on too, you know, also. But remember now what we were talking about this past Sunday, that those who stand in the open door, in the lap over, to catch the revelation of the name, the deity of Jesus Christ, not just the name Jesus, because, you know, it was never forgotten, but the revelation of that name being the very name of Almighty God. You know, all right? See, then that would be the revelation of the supreme deity. And as I told you, each church age then gets a salutation, which is a greeting, you know, all right? Then it gets a message to the overcomer and related to that day, all right? So then, in relation to the day, the overcomer, or the salutation to the sixth church age, he said, you've not forgotten my name, all right? So then it comes down to the life, to where that there'll be the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and my new name will be revealed to the people. Okay? Now, when we get down to it, after a while, I'm going to read it to you, where Brother Brown said these things were done in the sixth church age. But everybody wants the new name. They want some kind of a new name to where they can have some kind of a power or something like that. But remember, power apart from character is satanic. So then we better get to character first. All right? So if there is going to be a new name of Jesus to be revealed upon the earth, you better remember one thing. We better have the character to receive the name. Because if not, you could pronounce it every day. You could pronounce it all day long, and that be the only name. Say, this is a, for instance, it was Melchizedek. You could say Melchizedek all day long, and it wouldn't do you no good. It would not change nothing. Good to see our visitor back there with us. We always say to, I don't know, I don't think she's been here before. She has. Okay, then you're not a visitor. All right. Okay, welcome. All right. But see, what you're supposed to do is, as it said there in the overcomer, that would go back to be a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, the temple of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the body of Christ. So then it's to take the revelation of the one true and living God, and by way of the end time message, you know, to be able to go back and see these things. Now, in that age, they never went back to the temple, and the pillar in the temple. See, they didn't make it, because it's to be our age. It's to be where we're at. This is the end of it all, and we wind up in the end time receiving the message, and that way go back to the faith of the fathers. This is the age to go back to the revelation that the apostles had, you know, and what was their revelation? Surely we know that they taught the name of Jesus. But as I said, now when we talk about losing a name, don't think about losing that name that you can't pronounce it. Think about it that it's a revelation. All right, now we're going to strike something in a minute that may help you a little more on it when we get back on to the point in just a minute. But in Acts 4 and 12, it says, there's none other name under heaven whereby men must shall be saved, except in the name of Jesus. Because that's the only name, we'll read in a minute, that God ever had. His name wasn't Jehovah. His name's not God. That is an object of worship. You can make a God out of anything. That simply means an object of worship. And then you can turn around and call him Yahweh or Elohim and all. But all of those are just titles to a name. They're not the name. But the name is Jesus. Amen. And surely those disciples had a revelation of that name. Amen. They cast out devils in that name. They done all kind of mighty things. They baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? All right? But see, down through time, they lost the revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. And when it came out to be that he was, another person. Another identity. And they're still toying with, you know, playing with that same idea today about trying to make him a separate identity or entities and things. And instead of trying to understand the name. All right? And see, that way what we need to do is, do we understand the name of God is Jesus? Do we really understand that? Now, my voice is kind of like everybody else. We got all these old sinuses and problems, so I'm having to stay slower instead of trying to gear up a little bit, so just bear with me. But Brother Branham said, and I gave it to you on the adoption message, that, or I've got it on the adoption message, I just started you on a number one, that the only name that God ever had was Jesus. All right. See, now the original is J-V-H-V. But there was no way to pronounce that. That was written in back in there, so there was no way to pronounce that. So they put vowels with it, you know, the A-E-I-O-U things with it, and they come up with Jehovah. But that's not a name. That's just a title to a name. But his name is Jesus because Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. So his Father must have been, his Father's name was Jesus. He said, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, so the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Now make sure that we don't, I was thinking about it today, make sure that we don't pull this thing into a point of a oneness point. I'll try to speak something, the Lord willing, Sunday morning about that to make sure that we don't fall into a oneness idea, you know, or concept of trying to understand, because you can do it. I mean, you can come out with this Jesus, Jesus, Jesus and be a oneness. But if you keep it correctly, see, then you'll see that the name of God is Jesus Christ. That is his name. All right? And in doing that, and that's a little hot up here, but if it's comfortable back there, it's all right. Huh. That's okay. Don't turn no air on. Just turn my shirt to where it won't be so hot. All right? Now, every son comes in his Father's name. Right? All right, that's number one on your notes. We'll read on. Every son comes in his Father's name. All right? So then, no, I can't. So then, the Father's name and the Son's name has to be the same. And like I told you Sunday, we were talking about it, in the times of the Bible, they didn't have Jesus Jones or Smith or anything like that. You only had one name. It was Jesus of Nazareth, meaning where he come from. Joseph of Arimathea. You didn't have a double name form until you come on down through time. See, so then don't think about it as wondering what the other name was, you know. But it's Jesus. So let's just talk about that for just a little bit and make sure you understand. You know, so just follow with me. Trying to do God a service without his will, 1965. 7:18. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Every son comes in his Father's name. And he came in the name of the Father. And there's not another name under heaven given among men, whether it's called Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, whatever it might be done. There's only one meeting place that God meets man, and that's where he's in Jesus Christ, the only place. Right? Now, the only place God will ever meet man is where he put his name. Where did he put his name? He put his name in Jesus. That is his name. He didn't put his name in Jesus. That is his name. That's why they run off with the idea and called it a oneness and called it Jesus only. See, because it was closer to the truth than the Trinitarian concept that he was the second person of the Trinity. And that the Son was named Jesus, and we don't know about the Father and the Holy Ghost. We had never figured out their names yet. Well, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. So if his name was Jesus, what was his Father's name? If his Father had been Joseph, he would have had the name Joseph, right, in connection to him, because that would have been his given name. All right? And that name was never pronounced or never brought forth until, now there was a lot of words that had the same meaning, but when the angel told Mary, you know, his name shall be Jesus. And that word Jesus, you can take it all the way back. I'll be glad to sit down with you and look at it. You can go all the way back to Jehovah-See, all the way back to even to the word Joshua. Just run Jesus in your computer sometimes and check out where it runs back to. But like I said now, it's not forgetting a name, it's forgetting who the person is that has the name. That's what they done in the Dark Age times. All right? Now watch in a few minutes when we come back to it, where he says, I write upon him the name of my God. Right? Now watch that point. But see, now look at the next one. Modern events made clear by prophecy. 1965, 1206. The door said, I'll make one place. You won't worship me in every door that I'll give you. But there's one door, and in that door I'll put my name. And where the Lord puts his name, that's the place that God will receive your sacrifice. We've made all kind of doors, but God made a door. God made a door, and that door was St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the door. Now notice, that's the only place that God will receive a sacrifice. Is in the name of Jesus. But now not in just the name. I'm trying to get that point across. I want you that to dwell in your head. It's not just the name Jesus. The only place that God put his name is that is his name, the name of Jesus. Alright? And see, being the name of Jesus, it takes a revelation of who that is. That is the name of God. That's the only name God ever had. He never had all these others. They're titles. But his name is Jesus. His name's always been Jesus. It was Jesus before the world. It was Jesus that created the world. But see, we get tied up with the flesh. Well, the flesh's name was Jesus. Well, he said his Father's name was the same as his. I come in my Father's name. So Hebrews 10:5 said, a body thou hast prepared me. So the body was saying and recognizing back to a Father. I want to get on to that, but I'm going to have to hold it down because I want to go back all the way and pick up something for us. All right. But watch what he says. God put his name in Jesus. Do you believe that? He was the Son of God. Every son comes in his Father's name. He said, I come in my Father's name. You receive me not. I come in my Father's name. You come in your Father's name. Jesus come in his Father's name. And what? And you receive me not. Another will come. And him you will receive. See, I come in my Father's name. You won't receive me. What Jesus said. But he said another will come in his name. You'll receive that. What? A denomination. A Methodist, a Baptist, a Branhamite, or a... whatever, see. You'll receive it. It's just like, you ever talk to anybody very much about, you know, and you begin to reveal, I mean, just a little bit, you begin to talk to them about it, you know, and one person told me one time, said, oh, but you don't belong to nothing? I said, no, I don't belong to nothing. I was born into the family of God by the new birth. But you gotta belong to something. Well, now you know what he was saying. There's no salvation unless you belong to something. So they got a Baptist and they got a Methodist, they got a Presbyterian, they got a Catholic, they got a Branhamite, they got everything. They want to give you a name. But no, I want to be in my Father's name. That's why I read that. See, Jesus said, I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God. So now ever who was his God is my God. Ever who was his Father is my Father. Now that's in the body of Christ, right? See, that's why he would say it like that. But see, every son comes in his Father's name. Now, we'll read these in a minute, but I want to get a little point in right here. We'll talk about the name of God, it being Jesus. But I want to get a little point in. Did you notice the reading of the Scriptures? Did you notice the reading of the Scriptures? John 3 and 12. Let's go back and read it again. Have you noticed the reading of the Scriptures? Excuse me, Revelations. Revelations 3 and 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now remember, his God is your God. If you're born again, his Father is your Father. So your name is the same. That's why we take his name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism, to where we can confess his name to the world. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is no name, so you're not baptized in a name. Right. So you don't have anything to confess. You're confessing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right. Now remember the Scripture. Your Father is his Father. Your God is his God. Because he said that. He said, my God is your God. My Father is your Father. Right. Now listen to what it says. Pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and conjunction. Now, what's the point now? I want to read it the way you'll understand it. All right? So I'm not adding to the Bible. Listen to what I'm saying. And I will write upon him the name of my God. And I'll write upon him the name of the city of my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. Now, he said, I'll write upon him the name of my God. Now, where's that written at? I'm letting you think. We can say the name of God is Jesus, all right? Where's that written at? In you. All right, are you thinking? He says, I'll write upon him the born-again believer. Now, we know what that's talking about, right? In the body of Christ. It's not going to be on everybody else because they're not going to have the understanding. They can call him Jesus, Jesus, and they'll be still worshiping the devil. Brother Brown said, you can call him Jesus, Jesus, and not get nothing. He said, it'll be revealed in the thunders. In other words, what? Everybody said, new name, not be revealed in the thunders. Why you don't get nothing? Because you're not approaching him correctly. You're like the Syrophoenician woman is hollering out, thou son of David. He wouldn't even listen to her. But when she said, my Lord, he stopped and delivered unto her what she asked for. Now, listen. I only put one word right in there. It says literally, the Scripture literally says, and I'll write upon him the name of my God. And conjunction, which means he's going to do the same thing again. What? Write upon him the name of the city of my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. So now if the name of God is Jesus, what is the name of the city? It's not New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the bride of Jesus Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ has the same name as Jesus has. Then I write upon him my new name. Where's he going to write it at? You ever thought about it? Where is the name Dale written upon my wife? She doesn't have Dale stamped out on front of her. Does she have to have a name tag? We all laugh about somebody with a name tag. So what's the matter? You forgot your name? You have to have a name tag to keep up. Brother David's got one. You have to have a tag to keep up with who you are, you know? You know, we make a little joke about it. Now, where is Dale written upon my wife? Are you listening? You'll understand why it is like it is, that it wasn't the name pronunciation that was lost. It was the revelation of the supreme deity of the person you were talking about. I'll write upon him my new name. I'll write upon him the name of my God. I'll write upon him the name of the city of my God. Right. Now remember, we're going to read here in a minute. Let me turn over and read, just make sure, because somebody will be out there somewhere and cut off, and they'll just say, well, I didn't get the rest of it. So let's just drop over. Look at number 16 on your notes. I believe that's right. No, excuse me, number 10. I didn't bring all the others. Let's just prove a point. Let your prophet say it. Then we'll get back to what it said. Then you argue with him. You won't be arguing with me. This is the Philadelphian Church Age, which is 1960, 12, 10. Philadelphian Church Age. He talks about the ages coming down. He talks about the church age beginning at 1750 and all of the things happening. Watch the last paragraph there on your notes. And now the age is the age of church age of brotherly love, the great missionary age, and the open door age. And the reward was a pillar, made a pillar, and the revelation of three names. The name of God, the name of the city of God, and God's new name. And look, is the revelation that was given to this church age. Now we know it's in the overlap. We know it connects into the Laodicean age. And it will go on all the way. But look what he says about it. The name of God, the name of the city of God, and God's new name is the revelation that was given to this church, this age. But what's the new name? You better first understand the name of Jesus. Then you understand that the city is named the same because the city is the bride, which is New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And surely she has the name Jesus, because he has the name Jesus. But everybody wants some kind of a new name. Instead of the character and the development that goes with the name of Jesus, they want some kind of something where they can just use it like a rabbit in a hat trick when you need it. But just remember, you can't do that with the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, ask the Father in my name. He didn't say, ask me in my Father's name. He was recognizing the office. So he said, ask the Father anything in my name. Well, see, what was his name? Jesus. His name was Jesus. But it's got to be a revelation to you, not quoting five letters, J-E-S-U-S. J-E-S-U-S, the five letters wasn't lost. It was that this person that we call Jesus. See, when you say that to most people, they just say flesh. Flesh was named Jesus. Well, how did the Holy Ghost wind up being named Jesus? How did the Father wind up being named Jesus? Come on, get in the Scripture. But see, when you say Jesus, everybody says flesh. Flesh. That's just what, the flesh, that's all they deal with. The name of the flesh was Jesus. That's what we get to Sunday. The name of the Son was Jesus. But when did the Son come into being? Before the foundation of the world. That's what your prophet taught. That's what I'm trying to prove to you, because we just read here, he said that this sixth church age would be revealed three names. The name of God, the name of the city of God, and God's new name. But I'm asking you a question. It says, I'll write. Why does it say that? Why does it say, I'll write upon him? Now you know the him he's talking about there is the body of Jesus Christ, right? Everybody understand? You agree with that? That is the body of Jesus Christ. What it says him in the Bible, it doesn't mention male and female in the body of Christ. It doesn't go that way. It just goes with him or man or mankind. And that means the body of Christ. Because the word man can be referred to male and female when you're talking about the body of Christ. Everybody understand? We say, well, you know, that's just like mankind. We say, well, the women didn't do that. No, it doesn't mean that. It means male and female. That's a statement. But he said, I'll write. What I want to know is where did he write it? Then I want the Bible to show me where he wrote it. Everybody knows all about it. They know all about Jesus. Oh yeah, we brother Dale, we never was in them Trinitarians. We come down through the oneness with Jesus all alone. We're always Jesus only. Yeah, and that's what you still are. Where is that road at? What does it mean? I'll ride upon him. All right, now we've established it. I hope you understand. We've established the hymn there is the born-again believer. Now you agree? The born-again believer is the hymn you're talking about. So I'm going to write upon the born-again believer the name of my God. Now remember, if he writes upon the believer the name of my God, it better be the same name he had. Because he said, I come from my Father, I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to my God and your God. So now we better come out with the same name for all three of these events before you can talk about a new name. You got to see that his name is to be made new. Not different. See, when we say new, that means to us make something new. That means something that ain't never been before. But that's not so in the body of Christ in the Bible terminologies. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Revelation 3:14 is the beginning of the creation of God, and we're the rest of that creation. I hope you see everything just keeps tying together, tying together. I go to my Father and your Father. And like I told you Sunday, we're talking about it. See, everybody said, oh, we got to say Jesus just right now. We got to get it. Brother Branham's mouth was formed to a certain way where he could say a certain word. You don't have to say a thing. I've seen people healed that I never said one word. What about you? Never said one word, never prayed one word out loud. Never did even say in the name of Jesus. Just walked over and laid my hand on him. See, it's not words you quote. Letters on a page is not it. It's the revelation that you have. Now, where is the name of God written? Have you caught it yet? Write it down on the page in front of you where it's wrote at. Just write it down. Say, well, I believe this is where it's written. And then just see if you're right. Because I said enough about it to you to know exactly what I'm talking about. I wasn't the one that wrote the Bible. When it says, I'll write upon him my new name. I'll write upon him the name of my God. I'll write upon him the name of the city of my God. Where's he going to write it? Now, it is not Revelation 19, because there the name is written on the vesture, the garments. It's written on the thighs, the vesture, the garments. This has got to be something that when it's written there, you've got to have Scripture to back it up. And I've pondered about this now for about almost a week or two that I've been thinking on it and trying to, well, why does it say that? Why does it say I'll write upon him? And I'm sorry that I didn't get to make a thorough search of all of the things, because it just come to me today where it's at. All right. Now, while we're on that point, because we probably won't get on the rest of this anyway, turn over to Revelations. Verse 4. Now remember, this is in the future home now. Right. And you never thought about why that Satan, that it says that you'll have to have a stamp on your forehead? I thought we believed Satan always copied after Jesus. So now read verse 4. Let's read 3 to make sure you know where we're talking about. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, which means it cannot be done upon this earth, because you can't see the face of God and live, right? Shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. Now, over about 14 of Revelation, where it talks about the mark of the beast, the cause to receive a mark in their forehead. Now, we've got away from the point of it being something stamped, right? Now, what have we gotten down to that place there to understand? The mark of the beast is not 666 stamped on your hand. That's the basis of your monetaries and your things like that. Work. And it's not 666 stamped across your forehead. Right? What is the mark of the beast? It's the Trinitarian doctrine in your intelligence. Because it said it's on your forehead, or in your forehead. Where's it at? The front part of your brain is your conscience side of you. Thinking ability. So we know that the mark of the beast is not 666, you know, written across your forehead or on the back of your hand or some secret thing that you can put your hand up under a, you know, a thing and there you got a code wrote in there, you know. What is it? It's the doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity. That was what was put on Cain. What? Because Cain didn't, if Eve didn't recognize Hebrews 13:8, your prophet said she didn't, that's where she messed up at, not believing him to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So surely Cain took her doctrine, which would not be Hebrews 13:8, but would be the Trinitarian doctrine that started in Genesis. Now they never taught Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Get the right point about it. Consider the point. They wasn't back there like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, was it? No. The prophet said even TVs and things was in Genesis. Everything we have today was in Genesis. Why? Because where'd it come from? But you see, Cain received a mark. Not that he was made black, as we covered. Because that would have ended it at the flood if it had been the blackness. Because only knowing his descendants come across. But he took a Trinitarian doctrine. He believed in works without salvation. He brought the fruit. Proving what he believed. He believed mom and daddy ate fruit. Alright. So then in believing it like that, he brought the Trinitarian doctrine right into existence. Or many gods. Get it like that. He brought in many gods. He didn't believe in the one true and living God. He didn't recognize God to be who he was. Because surely he wouldn't have stood there and said, am I my brother's keeper? Arguing when the brother Branham said, never was a human mortal. Ever. That arrogant. He said, where did it come from? You stand right in the presence of God and say, where am I? Who am I? Am I supposed to take care of my brother? He said, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. But listen, the mark of the beast is in your forehead. Not 666. It's in your intelligence. It's in your understanding, right? It's what we all used to believe is the truth. Right? I don't care if you never went in the doors of a denominational church whatsoever. Don't argue points with me like that. That's foolishness. We were all born Trinitarians. Brother Branham so much until the point that he said one time, he said, I used to think Jesus loved me and God hated me. He said, until I found out that they were self-same person. Every person ever born into the world outside of the Lord Jesus Christ was born with a carnal mind leading it into Trinitarianism or many gods. The mark of the beast is in your forehead. It's in your understanding. It's what you thought was a revelation. But it's not a revelation from God. It could be one from the devil, but it's certainly not a revelation from God. Brother Brown said the Trinity doctrine comes straight from the pits of hell. Amen. Now that's what your prophet said. But do you understand what I'm saying then? If the mark of the beast is in your intelligence, where's the name of God going to be written? It's going to be written in your intelligence. It's a revelation. It's not a name to pronounce. It's not five letters, J-E-S-U-S. It's a revelation of who that person is and has always been. The one true and living God, and His name is Jesus. But see, we say, oh, He come in His Father's name. Well, that means He's the Son. Well, I just give you a couple of quotes where the prophet said, every son comes in the name of the Father. So we don't look at my wife and try to find some stamp marked on her, D-A-L-E. Come on. How many are old enough to remember this one? I'm sure this is going to get a good life out of the young kids anyway. We make fun of these young kids for what they're doing. How many of you are old enough to remember when we used to take a match not to end the light, the match, and what did we do with it? My wife's grinning. She knows. Sister Gail, you never did right. You never did scratch in your own skin. D-A. That was the popular thing in our day. You actually made a sore. You actually made a sore that would leave a scab. And then when it healed over, if you'd done it deep enough, it left a scar. Because you won't never know anybody to know who you belong to. Right? Because all of you are not old enough to remember none like that. No. You never did go down in the woods and carve on a tree and make a heart, and you'd put D-A and Gail. What? Yeah. See? You didn't ever do nothing like that. Amen. Even Rachel's back there shaking her head. You ain't never walked down by a creek and found a whole bunch of names written on a tree? I got a picture from over in Brazil where we were doing the baptism. Because the Samuel, they don't pronounce it Samuel, but like that, it's Samuel. It's more that way. And I was looking around, and I looked up on this column, and there was Samuel. I took a picture. Ta-da. Samuel's been here before. Might not have been me. But now listen. I tried to illustrate that as a point. You don't see Dale carved on my wife's face. It's her understanding that I'm her husband. And that's why a lot of marriages never work out. Because they never realize who the husband is. Oh yeah, I married the guy. Sure, I got his name. And even now they don't want to take the name of the husband. Don't ever ask me to do one like that. I'll refuse it. But you get what I'm talking about? In her intelligence, as long as her brain is working correctly, and everybody knows it runs 40 miles an hour working correctly, but as long as it's there, she's my wife. In my intelligence, she's my wife. If she left me today, divorced me, run off with another guy, whatever, that would never change the thoughts that I had in my mind. Because it's in my intelligence. It's a part of my being. Is that right, Sister Kathy? You don't sign nobody else's name, do you? You recognize Ray Gabriel. That's my husband. You understand where the name is written then? I'll write upon him the name of my God. I'll give him a revelation of who I am. I'll put it in his intelligence until it'll become so much a part of him until that's all he'll ever think about. And his name is Jesus. My Father's name is Jesus. Who told you that? The only begotten Son of the living God that brought the name of God to the earth to proclaim it. That's why we're not Trinitarians, but that's why we're not oneness, neither one. Because you just keep running at Jesus, 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 you'll wind up into a oneness doctrine. But when you keep that recognition, and then you keep the statements Jesus made, and see, a lot of people said, he just said it like that. When he said, I come in my Father's name, he just said it that way. No. He said what he meant, and meant what he said. But when he said, I go to my Father and your Father, he said what he meant, and meant what he said. My God and your God. So the name that's written on you tonight is written by the Holy Ghost revealed in your heart. For as a man thinketh not in his head, it is not in my wife's head that she is my wife. If it is, she'll flirt with every man coming and going. But when it's in her heart, as a part of her being, then I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about whether or not she's true to me. Why? Because she has it in her heart. You see what I'm talking about? I just didn't have time to put together all the scriptures about what I wanted you to see. Because you see, it's back in the Old Testament. Look in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 8. Let's go to verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Listen. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and then when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. See, a very part of your being. What? The Word. Right? The Word. Is that what he's talking about? These words. Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You see where Satan got the idea? So he puts a mark on the hand. He puts a mark on the forehead. Getting the idea because God spoke of it. Be frontlets in front of your eyes. They got a little box thing that your real strict Orthodox Jew, he's got a little thing and it's right here and it sits right there and binds upon his head. Why? Because you put it, these words, you put God's Word. You put the word of your husband between your eyes and keep it there. Then if your eye is singular, now if it's not singular, you're going to see two boxes. But if your eye is singular, which means if your prophet is singular, which means if you're really looking at the eye of God, which is the prophet of God, you'll see this message, which is what brings us to the place to line it up. Look at chapter 10. I just picked these up a minute ago because 10 and verse 18. Excuse me. Verse 11, 11, 18. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Now listen. And bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Hand, soul, heart, and eyes, all in one verse. That he wants us to see who he is. His name, Sister Gail. Oh, it's Jesus. That is the name of my God. That's why I never did like for people to use vulgarity and use Jesus. I don't like for them to even use the word God in vulgarity. Why? Because that's the name of my God. That's the name that I took when I got born again. I don't have any other name left. You see why the prophet said, I found out that Charles and Ella Branham's not my mother and father. That's the last message, communion. He said, I found out I was a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you got God's name. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll write upon him, not stamp on his head. I'll put it between your eyes. You keep that word always between your eyes and keep reading it. I'll put it in your heart. I'll put it in your soul, and it'll come out in your hands. You won't be nothing but just a walking stature of Jesus Christ. It's all in his name. And I'll write upon him the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Now that's not the name of the city of God. Come on, the name of the city of God is the bride of Jesus Christ. So if his name is Jesus, her name is Jesus. You see what I'm talking about? But it's where he's going to write it. He's going to write it in your intelligence until it becomes so much a being of a part of you, until you come out with the stature of a perfect man and standing there being Miss Jesus. And when you do, you could talk about a new name. But why talk about a new name? Why not keep the same name and let the name be new? Come on. Yeah, but everybody said, oh, we got to have that new name. We got to have that new name. Well, I've got the quotes. I'd be glad to bring them Sunday where the prophet said, it may be made known when we get there. But let me put it this way. I thought we believed the name of Jesus was the name of redemption. Right? I thought we believed all seven compound names applied to Jesus Christ. I didn't know the seven compound names applied to a new name. Come on, I've got it down what the prophet said about the new name. And I believe in a name being new when all things are overcome. But just remember, it can't be revealed to you until you overcome. I've got that written down also. What good would it do to give us a new name when we don't even understand the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus is redemption. And as long as we're here in this mortal body, we need redemption. Now when we're no longer in a mortal body, then you can talk about all things made new. Just because you're a born again believer means you're new in soul, not in body. Why do away with his name? Why not let it be something about Jesus we don't understand? But let me show it to you this way the best I can. You will never, never, never do away with the name of Jesus. Even if you know his new name, you think you're going to forget what he was? You think you're going to forget he's your Savior, your healer, your deliverer, your all in all? Come on, there's something wrong with your mortal human mind then. And just remember, like I said Sunday, the bride will be the only one that will know anything about a new name. Because she's the only one now that knows about the name of Jesus. But look around the world where they're using that name to cast out devils, heal the sick, do all kind of work. The prophet said they take so much of that word and make it work. That's what he said about it. Gifts and callings and things like that. But the foolish virgins, when they get into glory, the fifth sealed Jew and all of those, they're going to still call him Jesus. Because they're not going to know what a new name would be. Only the bride. But see, everybody tries to make it like that. You don't have nothing, I don't have nothing. We just sat around waiting on new name be revealed. We get that new name, boy, we'll just drop ourselves out of here. He said, Brother Dale, that's not what they're doing. You tell me that's not what they're doing. I'll talk with you the rest of the night. And I'll show you these people with the River Jordans and these two souls and seven thunder virtues, Perusia, Son of Man's, the Lord and Lords and all these things. They're identically got the same doctrine. And every one of them would be mad as a hornet when they hear me say that. It's the same identical doctrine. Come and talk to me about it and let's see. What's the difference in two lords and two souls? What's the difference in two souls and the River Jordan identities and things that you're talking about? Amen. You say, well, Brother Dale, well, come and let's see. Amen. Bring your doctrine and come. Show me where I'm wrong. Well, you wouldn't listen to me anyway, so I ain't no even talking to you. Well, amen. Thank you for having that much confidence in me. I will listen to you. But listen, church. If Jesus was the only name God ever had, then you better be Miss Jesus. Because if you're going to be the city, that's why John couldn't tell the difference in Revelation 21-22. He would write about the city and write about the bride. He couldn't tell the difference in the two. Why? They're all the same. And that's where we read Revelation 22 and 4. That you'll have his name in your forehead. Your revelation. See, they lost that name. I'll write upon him the name of my God. It'll be restored unto you. Who I am. And not only who I am, but what my name is. See, and that's why Jesus said, ask anything in my name. Read your Bible and see how much he spoke about the Father in my name and the Holy Ghost to come in my name. And then go back in the Old Testament, and I just gave you those few, and run references back to the frontlets and the foreheads and the things. How that Moses said, you'll take that. Where did Moses have? He had in his intelligence as a human mortal, because he was not a born-again Christian. He had as a human mortal in his soul a revelation of one God. Now come on. Because that's what he was trying to get the people to see. He said, God's not up in heaven once you go there. He's not down under the ground or in the grave. You got to go get him. He said, he's nigh thee even in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith which I preach. He was trying his best to get them to see the God that he was, that was revealed to him. And that was a mortal human being without a new birth. How much would it be with me and you? You see where it's at? He's going to write upon him the name of my God. It's going to be very part of your being. That's why we ask a lot of times in Jesus' name and don't get nothing. Why? Because we're not thinking correctly. You let that one time, the prophet said, take that word. What did he say? upon your thing. In other words, down into your heart. I'm trying to quote it. Take it into your heart. Speak it back on your lips. What did he say? He said it's deity speaking. Is that right, Brother Ray? Deity speaking. Because Jesus said when you ask those things, he said, just remember, it's my Father that's doing the asking. Now, if my Father and his Father is the same, then who's asking? I've never prayed a prayer when it was really based on a revelation upon God's Word that I didn't see him bring it to pass. Not a one. Now, I've prayed a lot of prayers that I sealed it in Jesus' name. That's what I was trying to explain here a while back to you about it. See, we ask the blessing. What we say, Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name. That's high for the Scripture. You got quite tired, didn't you? That's only one high for the Scripture. Said by the Word. Of God and prayer. Word of God first and prayer. What do you mean, Brother Dale? We're supposed to read the Bible before we pray? Now see how carnal you get. No, but if you're in the Word, if you're in the Word, studying the Word or talking about the Word, just what I've been saying, then you will know what to say in Jesus' name. Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in thee flesh, I live by thee faith of thee Son of God. He claimed nothing of his own. He didn't have any intelligence of his own. He had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, whatever state I'm in, there be content. Whatever I'm supposed to be, it doesn't matter if I'm in jail, if I'm going to get my head cut off, said, you know, they said, well, that's you, Paul. He said, yeah, that's me. He didn't go up there screaming and hollering and, oh, you can't do this to me. I'm a Christian. No, he went up there and laid his head down. Hollered out, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We have all things through Jesus Christ. Amen. The revelation of one true and living God. The revelation of his name. Because my Father and his Father is the same. So when I'm asking, I'm not asking in my name, Samuel Dale. I ask in my Father's name. But then one day it'll come to where that you can sign your own name. What does those things mean? Wasn't that what your prophet taught on adoption? That you can sign your own name. What would be your name then, Brother Dick, that you would sign? Dick Addison. That's fine. That's a point. That's just a statement. It's just a way of saying things. But when you speak it in the name of the Lord, that is him speaking it. In my name you shall cast out devils. Run a reference on those things. How much Jesus spoke. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Be this the best way to say it. And listen to how much he spoke about his Father. Well, he was just throwing that to throw y'all off that are Trinitarians and things, you know. No. He recognized his Father. But now listen. Why did he make this statement? I'll just end it with this. He said, ask the Father anything in my name. Sure, we lay on the Father's name was Jesus, so his name is Jesus. That's fine, but that's only the beginning. That's only for human elements to think about. He said, ask the Father anything in my name. Because it's not you asking, it's the Father in you doing the speaking. That's Scripture. Ask the Father in my name. Why didn't he say ask the Father in the Father's name? I've done made that statement Sunday a dozen times. He said, ask the Father anything in my name. Why? Because he brought the name to earth. I've got some quotes that would be interesting to read. Where that you will never see God. Because the human eyes, even in eternity, won't be able to see God. But you'll see Jesus and know who he is by revelation. Because the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten of the Father has revealed him or brought him out, revealed, made him known. See, that's what we'll see in eternity. We won't see a pillar of fire over here and a Holy Ghost fluttering over here. No, you'll see Jesus and know who he is. Then you'll see why he said, I come in my Father's name. But he said, my Father is your Father. My God is your God. It's a revelation that I'm talking about. Revealing the name of Jesus is what I'm talking about. You read all the rest of these. What is the name of God? Brother Brown says Jesus. I gave you a bunch of manifested sons of God. 1965-18. The name of God is Jesus. Philadelphia Church Age 60-12-10. I'm giving this for on the thing. It's out there. Hey, Brother Joe's put it on. His name is Jesus. What is the name of God? Paragraph 483 on the Seals, 63:324. What is the name of God? It's Jesus. God's only chosen place of worship. The name of God is Jesus. 230, God's only, paragraph 230, God's only provided place of worship. 65:11-28. God's human name is Jesus. Philadelphian Church Age book, the name of God is Jesus. The name of God is Jesus. Might as well quit because I can't get no more. The name of the city of my God. Brother Brown said, if you caught it, it's all the same name. Philadelphian Church Age, Philadelphian Age, paragraph 282, number 9 on your note, 60:12-10. He said, it's Jesus, 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 all the same. What's the name you're looking for? It's not the words on a page, but to understand or remember or be brought to your understanding by revelation that what you're doing is looking at the Almighty God and now you know His name. And you're not trying to guess at what His name would be, a Yahweh's or a Jehovah. Or, no. That was what was lost. Before we can understand a new name, we must see the name of God, which is Jesus. All things will have to be made new before we would need a new name. You say, we need a new name for a change. Then you're doing away with redemption in Jesus' name. Alright? Then you're saying that the name of Jesus is not sufficient for redemption. Do you understand? If you say we got to have a new name to be changed, then you're saying that Jesus' name is not sufficient for redemption. Go ahead. Brother Brown said it would be this age, the sixth age, that would get the name of God, the name of the city of my God, in my new name. You see why I keep turning these pages? See, what they got back there, was a promise that come between the 6th and 7th church age, a promise that we would receive a full revelation of the name of Jesus. Then we can talk about a new name. All right? See, it's not a new name like a new name we're talking about. It's a revelation. It's a new revelation. Brother Branham said, identified Christ of all ages, number 11 on your notes. By the opening of the seals, the Bible will become a brand new book. Was it a different book? Was it something different, or was it something that was not known in the book? Paragraph 77, God's chosen place of worship. He says the same thing. God's power to transform. 1965, 09, 11. Did it become a new book? What? More was revealed. We live by revelation. We live by revelation. We in the body of Christ live by revelation. That's what it takes to come up the pyramid, is a revelation. Come out to the true understanding. Come on, Brother Boy. See, it's not words on a page. That's why it said back there in the Old Testament, put these words in your hands, in your heart, in your soul, and in front of your eyes. Eat it. Live it. When you go out to play, he said, do it in Jesus' name. You go to work, do it in Jesus' name. You'll find out you won't have very much trouble if you do it in Jesus' name. But if you go on your own, you're going to be mad all day long. Arrogant and hateful, and everybody around you is going to look at you and say, I don't want to be a Christian if that's what one is. Ever anybody ever thought that about you? You know why? Because they didn't see Christ. Didn't see Christ. Well, it don't make no difference about this. They said Jesus was a Christian. And they called them Christians there at, what, Antioch? They called them Christians. Why? Because they was acting like Christ. They was healing the sick, casting out devils, that's all anybody could see. No, they was living a life. The world ain't wanting to see people cast out devils. The world's wanting to see a life. The name of Jesus. The only name God ever had. So it's a revelation of God that's revealed to you and I. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother. 342 in the Red Book. His name is Jesus. Through this world of still leads me as I go into the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand still guided by the unseen hand. Yeah, through shadows drear, and while it leads, I'll have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin nor sorrow ever can come. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand, to see my Savior's face, the story saved by grace, and there upon that golden strand, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. Will you? The unseen hand that guides me through this weary land, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. Who saves you? Jesus. Who heals you? Jesus. Who's going to change these bodies? Jesus. So what do we need a new name to get a change? When all is made new, then we can have a new name. But just remember, now here's a statement the prophet made. Whatever that new name is, will be the name of the bride. Why? Because you'll be Miss who? Ever who it is. So why not just take the name of Jesus and just keep believing it and just keep walking in it and seeing it unfold, and then not worry about it. There's going to be a message to cheer down through the endless ages. There'll be a message of cheer. There'll be a new revelation. Not of a different God, but of that God. Me, who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. One more time before we go. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we stand in the name of Jesus, who, tell me who? No weapon formed, the Bible said, can ever conquer you. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your revelation, Lord. Thank you that you are our Father. You are our Lord. Jesus said, my Father is your Father. My God is your God. Thank you. We love you, Father, and we thank you. Thank you for the rain that you're giving us. Thank you for all of the things. Thank you for healing the sick, because there's been many things among us, Lord. We pray that you would just deliver us from them all and bring us together in you. Have your way, Lord. What a Thanksgiving day tomorrow will be in our hearts if we just think about you. Think about what is revealed to us. And then, Lord, it will truly be a Thanksgiving day. A wonderful opportunity. Forgive our sins. Lead us now by that grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.